There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
3, 2, 1. Trivia time, Stang. Can you name, Matt Stang, can you name the four people in our intro?
John Daly.
1 for 1.
It's going to get tough after that.
They're pretty easy.
Yeah.
Hit it down. Well, there's one that you might right now. The driver sucks.
Okay, let's go with Common Man.
No.
No.
Yeah, way off. That's DeChambeau.
Oh.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Hello. Do you know who the announcer was?
I'll go Kevin Harlan for the hometown bit.
Jeez. This is Bruce so Buffer. Bad. Bruce Buffer.
Oh, yeah.
Then there's no chance to get the first one. That's Bob Does Sports. Robbie Berger.
Sure. Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. For a guy that owns a golf apparel company, I would have expected at least 2 out of 4.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's probably a busy guy.
You know
what? Yeah. Busy guy.
You get a baby.
Office guy.
You get a baby, and there isn't a whole lot of time left over.
Matt Stang from Swanee's Co. Knock on wood, hopefully a future sponsor of the pod. I know right now we're in talks with the marketing team.
Yeah, I try and stay out of that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, well, clearly I know you do because we go way back and we still haven't gotten a deal done.
Well, there is that.
The one thing Stang hasn't lost, I'll tell you what, the golf game. So we just played out at Windsong. First hole, we played from the whites today because... I've been playing from the blacks for 3 weeks and we were playing with Reg. Like, let's play from the whites. Let's just, you know, see if we can go low, you know, do the old DeChambeau bit where you try and, you know, go low, get comfortable being even par and below.
Mm-hmm.
And
my rule showing up was I'm not playing with tips.
Oh, well, and Stang literally is like, you know, it's kind of on par for Stang. He's known for just showing up out of the parking lot and rolling to the first tee. So go to the first tee. He rolls trunk three
tea,
putts.
Huh? Trunk
rolls,
to tee guy.
Rolls. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
trunk
rolls cover. Three putts. Hits it right down the middle of the fairway. I hit mine like really far, but it went left out of bounds. So I'm dropping three. Hit a decent one. I'm like 20 feet away probably. And Stang just raises his hand like this. And I go, did you just dunk it? He goes, it's either in the hole or it's deep. And the last time I had played golf with Stang was 2 weeks ago before our fantasy football draft. And he dunked one from 150 on me for eagle when I was on the green. And so we go up there and I'm like, dude, it's not deep. There's no, he's like, yeah, it's in the hole then. Walks up there, boom, in the hole. Starts out with two. And I have to spot him 2 strokes aside, was it?
We did. Yeah, it was 2 strokes
aside. Are you 20 club guy?
What's that?
Did he hit you in the 20 club?
He's not a 20 club guy. Stang doesn't really play for much. He just shows up and just plays golf.
Did Jordan? He probably didn't share with you what the 20 club is.
He did not.
No, we did because Reg and I were playing.
Is that your 4th club? Because you're at Windsong. And then, there was the estate club or whatever club that was. Is
if you make a 2 and you're in the 20 club, everyone in your group gives you $20. That's why Reg on 7, when he hit it really close, was like 20 clubs on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he missed the putt.
Yeah, he did miss the putt.
It's a big putt.
And
that's anytime you play.
Anytime with anybody that's in the 20 club.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And then on Fridays, a lot of times on Fridays when there's a big group of guys, like sometimes there's 25 guys playing at one time, we do 20 club across all the guys. So, you know, you make it 2, it's 24, 20 is
hello.
Yeah.
It's not nothing.
Yeah. That's another new putter for your bag.
So I gave Stang so we'll introduce Stang here in a second, but a lot of fun stories from today. So 3 months ago, I ordered one of those jailbirds, you know, like the Ricky Fowler, Wyndham Clark Odyssey bits.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Right.
And it showed up yesterday, put it in my bag today, but okay with it. Like, it's just not really for me. And I'm like, Sang, do you want this? He's like, absolutely. So I put it in his bag on hole 12. And then I think, didn't we ripped off birdies on
14, 15, somewhere in there.
14 and 16.
Two hardest holes in the course, so that's not bad.
Well, I played from the whites.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a little bit easier.
It was nice having 8-9 pitching legend all day.
Yeah, it really was.
Great.
So Matt Stang joining the pod, as people may or may not know or probably figured out by now, one of the co-founders of Swanee's Golf Apparel, really big here in the Midwest, known Stang since our, I guess, high school days. And we decided to play some golf today, have you out to talk a little bit about Swannies and your golf game and kind of the future of what you guys are doing and hopefully solidify the partnership here between Member Guest Podcast and Swannies.
First and foremost.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you for sure. How did you come up with the name Swannies?
Ooh, yeah. Third co-founder's last name is Swanton.
Got it.
Swanton,
okay.
Yeah. Yep. And a lot of bad names, a lot of bad logos before that. And
what were they before that?
The other names? Yeah. No, just like what we were kicking around.
Oh, sure.
So we didn't officially launch a name before that, but yeah, like Your Life or something like that, trying to get, you know, yeah.
Well, and originally the whole bit, right? And you can probably tell a story better than me, but I remember when you first started, it was sandals.
Because it's a very, I looked this up just doing a little research and like you guys went to PGA show, right? With some like makeshift sandals. Dude, that you
listen to that shit, man. They were like sold, like we were literally in a warehouse. And when I mean me, like we, as in like me as well, helping out the boys, we were gluing like, remember we were like two pieces, like gluing them together in that warehouse in Minneapolis by the old Second Swing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, we were like gluing the bottoms and I had one
in the Minneapolis Second Swing, like over on Hennepin.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Hennepin. A block away from there in a warehouse. We were in the basement of this warehouse, literally taking glue and putting them on the bottom of these sandals. And I remember saying like, yeah, this isn't going to work. We're going to have to shift to a barrel. So tell the story. Cause it actually is pretty cool. And now you guys are obviously all over the country. I saw you guys at Waste Management Open when I was there.
Yeah,
big presence here in the Midwest. So maybe a little bit of story about Swannies.
Yeah, no, it's been a wild ride for sure. There are a lot of good stories from back in the day. That's a good one for sure. Basement alley of a warehouse, probably like 100 feet long, 8 feet wide. And the idea to start was...
You're in a hallway.
So you're in a hallway.
Basically.
Oh, you're in a basement alley.
And it was dark.
You're not renting a basement space. You're renting a hallway.
Correct. That was like...
And you could just like walk too, in.
Right? Like we were just paying this guy like $150 in cash.
You could walk in there if you wanted. Like somebody could have just stolen literally all of Swanee's sandals.
Yeah, which...
They didn't. So
no,
could use them to start a fire.
Right. Yeah.
They're just fine.
The only thing they weren't good for was probably playing golf in. So... No, it was a cool idea, the sandal. It had no ability to like go to market and actually scale a business.
So what was the idea? You just said, hey, I like playing golf. And when I'm done playing golf, I want to put on a pair of sandals.
Yes. And just, I'd rather play golf like barefoot. Dude, and that was the closest thing to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. When you're showing up out of your, you know, out of the trunk, you just keep the sandals on, throw the bag over and around the first tee.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So came up with the sandals. The sandals were objectively pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like had four different components that you were putting together. So like Jordan was saying, the bottom, then you had to glue that to the middle part of the sandal. You had to take the strap and like cut it out of a die cutter in this basement. Bring it to Cooper, who is like our elementary school gym teacher. He would sew like on an embroidery machine, sew the swan on the strap of the sandal. Then we'd bring him up to like Ham Lake, like 30 miles north of where we lived. They would stitch the two pieces of the sandal strap together just to pick those up, bring them back together, essentially like heat them up either in your oven in your house, which we did, or we finally got like a heat lamp, stick it all together and you finally had a sandal. But like a month process of all that stuff. It was once we were like a year into it and had all the components and figured out like, okay, this is our finished product. Not only was the finished product not good, but it was taking way too long to get there. Nobody liked the product to begin with. So a couple
of
years,
but you had a business. So you were off and running.
We were off and running. Yeah. So we did a Kickstarter and then our go to market strategy was selling through golf courses. And so we got into
how big was your ask on Kickstarter?
20 grand.
20.
Yeah.
And you made that?
We raised 22.5 somewhere in there.
Nice.
Yeah. So just barely, but got it done. That kept us going. And then, yeah, sold into 10 or 15 golf courses to start that summer.
Where was your very first golf course?
Very first golf course, Southern Hills down in Farmington.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Great track, too.
Really cool pro, Nate Carden, who I think is at a course in Wisconsin now. But super great. Like getting started for us was more people just being like, hey, you're local. I like what you're doing. Your product doesn't even need to be good. I don't even care if it sells through. I'm just going to say yes to bringing it in because I like the story. Yeah. And I'm like that person, right? That pro is just like, good dude.
Honestly, I mean, my wife will tell you this too, but like, that's how I buy half of my stuff.
Yeah.
Like if there's like a door to door sales kid that comes up to the door and he's got a good pitch, I'm like, I'm buying that.
I'm saying yes.
I'm buying it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, kudos to you. Good on you for, you know, taking a leap of faith and making a run at it.
I was an absolute sucker for those really big, like, cards that had no value for your hometown football team. You know what I'm talking about? Coupon cards. It was like,
yeah, it was for fundraising.
Yeah, exactly. You never actually used the coupon card, but you know, kid comes to your door, you're going to support him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So no, there were a lot of good stories from back then, but, to learn how to make the sandals. Like, we were out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin with this guy, like trying to teach us how to make them. It's in Michigan with a guy who like designed the sandals, and I'm staying overnight at his house in this, you know, random podunk city, on the weekend from my corporate job. Drove down to the PGA show, like we were talking about, in an RV from Chicago, four or five of us. So it was, had to put yourself out there getting started and be willing to hear no a lot. And yeah, just be willing to get on the road and
so how many years ago was this?
That was 2015. I'd say we introduced apparel in 2017, like super elementary apparel.
And that's really when the brand kind of got established, or were you like, hey, we're grinding our ass off here?
We were still grinding for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back a little further too, right? So you played golf, obviously, in high school, and then you were a Evans Scholar at the U.
Yep.
And did you do entrepreneurship at the U, and then like, weren't the second swing guys around there too? And that's when you were like, I want to do something with golf after college.
Yeah. Simon at Second Swing was a U of M guy. And started from there. Yeah. So I was entree and finance in college, and then did a corporate gig for a couple of years out in Boston, and then moved back here to get this started. But yeah, it was, so 2017, like, started to introduce apparel. It probably took till 2019, 2020 to really have what felt like, semi-legitimate business where we were heading in the right direction. So it was 4 or 5 years.
I mean, you have a legit hoodie.
Yeah.
I think your hoodie is very, very legit.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
You know, obviously I like your polos. The swan is pretty recognizable logo that, you know, people see it around. But, you know, we have a couple of hoodies that we had branded with some member guest stuff on, and people literally comment on it every single time I wear it. So,
yeah. We have three different hoodies that we do right now. Probably our three best selling products.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, and that's just golf right now, right? Like, that's the way it's trending. You want something casual. I don't think I ever see Hagel playing a polo, right? He's always got a long sleeve on. He's always got pants on.
Definitely has pants on.
I like to run hot. Definitely like to run hot.
Do you guys release just some shorts recently too?
Yeah. We've expanded product categories, over the last 3-ish years, slowly, but added stuff. So really just started with men's polos, layers, hats, and then started getting to bottoms, got into women's. That's grown quite a bit, and that side of the game is growing a lot. So that's been fantastic. And then juniors, boys, and juniors, girls recently. So yeah, starting to get the brand more opportunities to be in more places. Cause if you're just doing men's, and within men's really just doing polos and layers, you're a little bit narrow focused in terms of right where the brand can be sold and who's going to wear it.
Sure.
Be interested in it, yeah.
And then you do some, I don't know if you still do it. I imagine you probably do, but weren't you guys starting to get into like selling to high schools and colleges as well? And then you also have, so talk about that, and then talk about how you start to get, you know, guys like, it's Lingmerth, right?
Yeah.
On the tour. Like, are you trying to source college kids that you think are going to end up being pro, or how's all that work when you start to get into, you know, sponsored athletes?
Yeah.
I'm still looking to be sponsored, by the way.
Just saying. You keep playing golf the amount of days a week you do. You're there in a couple of years, right?
Maybe.
His game's improved a lot in the last 3 years. I mean,
probably not, but maybe.
I think that's a cool story because he didn't even play golf in high school.
Yeah.
I don't know if you played in college really, but like, talk about taking your game right from nothing to
staying taught me really
real legit
after college.
But yeah, we're sitting in his golf simulator right now. So.
Exactly. Guy loves golf more than anybody I know.
Got to grind, man.
He's committed.
Gotta grind.
Committed a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tour guys. You're kind of throwing darts at a dartboard, right? So like Lingmerth, super, super lucky. That guy, he's an awesome guy. Kind of like fits the brand really well. happy-go-lucky, like family guy. So he's been awesome to be able to work with. We had the guy who runs our tour team played golf at Purdue in college and then was our Florida sales rep for a couple of years. And so that's where most of those guys are living down there. And he would just kind of go around like Korn Ferry tour events and try to meet people, talk to his connections. So it's a lot of, we have a lot of PGA Canada guys that play up there. I think we had five or six on the Korn Ferry this year. And then one of them, Ryan McCormick, is going to have his tour card for next year. And then, yeah, a couple guys on the tour, Lingmerth and Ryan
Brown. Does Siegel need a sponsorship?
Yeah, absolutely.
We could hook you up with a guy that's got some potential.
There we go.
It could be throwing a dart, but
that's a pretty good dart. Yeah, no, yeah. For sure. And, I mean, we try and find guys who fit the brand and are younger and are good dudes. And Lingmerth had an awesome year. Tied for third in the Scottish Open, tied for sixth at the Players.
Not to be too forward, but like how recognizable, like, so let's say a guy like Lingmerth has a great finish and he's on TV a lot. Can you see a noticeable uptick, or is it like, hey, we're just getting our brand out there. Hopefully people see our hats or they recognize the Swan logo and like are intrigued.
Yeah. Not that noticeable. It's more noticeable. And actually what I think is a cool way of just like people will text you and say like, dude, saw Lingmerth, you know, dunked it from 150 in the Players today or whatever. Or when people see out in the stands or whatever on TV, they'll still see people wearing Swannies gear. Like I think Max Homa, it was either the BMW or the Tour Championship, threw a ball after a hole to a little kid, and the dad's there rocking a Swannies hat, right? And so you get 10, 15 people that text you, and it's cool.
Well,
and you can also see your brand out there.
You know, the way the world has changed, right? And you can even see big brands are shifting away from maybe, you know, there's tour sponsorship and that proves dividends pays off in different ways, but there's also like so many other ways to get your brand out there. Now, I mean, social media and just finding a way to have one post go viral in some way, shape or form, or you have somebody that reps your whatever, and all of a sudden it kind of takes off.
Right. Or you just come on the member guest podcast.
I mean, I didn't want to say it.
Do you guys still do the annual, the Swannies? I'll never get the image of Riley sliding down the water slide.
Oh my gosh, the Swannie scrambles.
Do you guys still do the Swannie scrambles? Is that still a bit or no?
No, that's a good story.
Let's hear it. Go ahead and tell it.
I want to hear it.
Oh, absolutely. We're like halfway through. So 100%.
Adam's the other co-founder, working on stuff day to day. And he is convinced, like this is 2017 probably, that we can write to what we were just talking about, right? Go viral or build up a ton of brand awareness by throwing these Swannie scrambles. So we did them for either 2 or 3 years. And the idea was you had the full golf course book. So you got like 144 golfers. You play in eightsomes. So you're playing 4 and 4 against your other foursome. You've got kegs every 3 holes and you've got essentially like yard games that you're also playing. So it's like part golf, part yard games, like beer Olympics kind of style, like Connect Four and bags and that type of stuff out there. So they were a ton of fun. They made us no money. They were insane to plan. Like planning a 144 person golf tournament on itself is a ton of work. Let alone, right? We're doing party buses to and from. And
everybody's doing keg stands.
You got to, you're babysitting all day.
But to be fair, you were early on this because like now you see Bob Does Sports and Four Play. Yeah. They do all this stuff.
No free ads, Jordan.
Yeah, that's fair. Now you see a lot of other podcasts out there doing, or like, brands doing this stuff. So to be fair, you were onto something. You were just very early to it.
Very early. And we didn't have any brand recognition at the time either. Yeah. So that didn't help. It's year three. And we're down at Southern Hills. So again, Nate Carden, awesome dude, is letting us do this down there. Year two, we have a slip and slide down the 10th fairway. Is like the top two teams go into a slip and slide Connect Four contest. So you got to go down and then place your chip in the Connect Four board to see who wins. So hard to beat that in year three.
Yeah.
We managed to top it in one way by it's essentially like the last hole. People are finishing up. And one of our volunteers runs over a guy's ankle
Oh my God.
In a golf cart, runs it over, and then backs up back over his ankle.
Oh shit.
Again.
Sorry about that.
Oh yeah. Let me just throw it in reverse quick, Terry. So he rushes to urgent care. Somebody brings him there and long story short, we get sued, she gets sued, and the party scrambles are done for good.
No more party scrambles.
No more party scrambles. That'll be the end of that. No more party scrambles. Fun while they lasted, though.
Yeah, sounds like a good time until somebody breaks an ankle.
A lot of that stuff gets, you know, like you're grinding so much getting started. And for us, it was like, I think the adage of starting a business, starting anything, right? It's going to take twice as long and cost twice as much money. And that was absolutely true for us. And you're naive enough to think like, oh, we're going to grow really quickly, do this and this, and we'll, you know, be where we want to be in 2-3 years. And right, that 2 or 3 years is 4 or 5 years. And it just takes a long time to get there. But in the meantime, you're working so hard that like, yeah, if you're willing to like put in that grind, there are a lot of good stories that come out of it.
I'm sure.
For the better, for the worse, right? That you're just grinding in the basement, putting sandals together at 11 or at night, or right, throwing party scrambles. Having
but I mean, if you think about it, so like, how old were you when you started this brand?
24.
Yeah. Most 24-year-olds are not grinding in some hallway in a basement in a warehouse on some Saturday night.
No, that's
most 24-year-olds are downtown trying to hook up with girls or trying to find girls or whatever.
We did that part too, but yeah.
But you know what I mean? So I'm trying to give you props you had a vision and you acted upon that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about the fact that, and no free ads, I know they're competition, but the fact that two really large, awesome golf brands have come out of White Bear Lake, Minnesota in Unreal and 20s. Did you ever talk to MJ?
No. Not really, just through... We Coop again, elementary gym teacher that we had. Try and keep it all local, you know, all in the fam.
Yeah.
He embroiders for them, does a ton of their embroidery. So kind of through him, we'll talk once in a while. Or, but yeah, awesome brand. They're crushing it. They do a ton of cool collaborations. Mm-hmm. So it's been really cool to see them grow.
It's just odd, like they're both from White Bear Lake. It's actually kind of
It's very
crazy.
Cool.
So
talk to me like, so what's next? So like you started, you got into clothing brand, you got into layering, you got into the hats, and now you're branching out into bottoms here and there. How do you continue to identify new areas of growth, or how do you, you know, like what's next to kind of help grow your brand?
Yeah. For us, since getting started, right, we knew we had a little bit of background working at golf courses, working in golf shops. And so we knew that's the strategy to get our product out there that we wanted. One, from a sales channel perspective, but two, that helped with brand awareness. You've got, right, like Hagel plays golf at Winsong 100 times a summer. So if he's seeing Swannies in there 100 times a summer, we're set. But no, being able to grow brand awareness that way. 8 years later, we still have room to grow just with golf courses here in the US and then internationally too. So we're in about 2,500 across the US and Canada. We just brought on my sister to sell in the UK and Ireland. Same thing.
Is she living over there now?
She is. Yeah. Glasgow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I believe I'm just now finding that out.
Yeah, chased a boy.
Good for her.
Yeah. And so we still have room to run green grass wise, what they call golf courses in the in the industry. And now, because of that brand awareness growth, we've started to get a lot of inbound interest in like corporate kind of branded stuff, and then big box retail. And so there's and just even e-commerce as well has grown because of that brand awareness in part in golf courses. So there's those three.
I mean, that's the ideal, right? You make the most profit off of e-commerce. So
right. And then, you don't have to, I mean, in your marketing in some sense is your sales channel at the same time within golf courses. So there's a ton of room for us to grow. We've got 3 or 4 major.
So when you say like big box, we don't need to say anybody, but like they're the normal ones that are like golf based stores.
Yeah. So we're in Scheels, Nordstrom, and then Dick's Sporting Goods
That's awesome.
Yeah. All in 23. And then, Dick's Sporting Goods has hundreds of doors
for sure.
So that gives you a lot of room to continue to grow. So yeah, I think as we keep building out kind of the categories that we sell in and the products, that gives us more opportunity to grow within those type of accounts too.
In the golf world, you know, there's different, like, I don't know how to describe it. what are considered like premium, like the premium brand
for sure,
mid-range brand, maybe lower barrier of entry brand from a pole perspective. Where do you see Suwannee's fitting into that?
Yeah, we like to say affordable fashion. So we are going to be, you know, Peter Millar is going to be maybe not twice as expensive as us, but like in that range.
Like a Holderness and Born or somebody is like going to be premium.
Yep. And Peter Millar kind of dominates the green grass space too. And then, you know, so if they're retailing a polo for 110, we're at 65.
Yeah.
Travis Matthews in that $90 kind of retail range. So, and Grayson's kind of up in that range too. So most of the brands that are at our price point are older, have an older consumer. It's FootJoy. It's your big box brands that you typically associate there, like Under Armour, Nike, mm-hmm. Adidas. And so for us, it's been really helpful to be at a price point where there isn't really another fashion brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what provides a little competitive advantage or a little uniqueness.
That's cool.
How's it, obviously the last few years, really since call it COVID or just before COVID, golf has just absolutely blown up.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest change, whether it's brand or actual apparel stuff, or like, what have you seen within golf? Cause we talk about it a lot on the pod, you know, obviously we love the game. It's all about growing the game, but just the fact that you see so many more people playing now casually,
right?
I imagine it's good for business, but like, what else are you guys seeing just being that close within the industry? Cause I've, like, now that we do this podcast, I've realized how small it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, I follow a lot of these folks on Instagram, and like, all of a sudden we're like one person away from, you know, talking to like Johnny Wonder and Heath Fitz John Rahm. And I'm just my world is kind of blown. And so like, what do you guys see and how much has changed, you know, over the last, call it 3 to 5 years, just with golf in general?
No, I think you hit it on the head. The biggest thing that we're seeing, which helps us a lot, is a lot more younger golfers, a lot more women golfers getting into the game, and more casual. And when those people pick up the game, right? One of the reasons we started Suwannee's was you'd go into a pro shop before and it'd be $90, $100 polos, and a lot of them were just, you know, like solids or stripes. So not only was it expensive, but it wasn't really modern. It wasn't a lot of stuff that you would wear outside of golf. And so with the growth in golf, especially on the younger side and especially on the women's side, you're getting new entrants and you're getting people who aren't going to immediately join a private club or want to spend a ton of money to be able to go out and play a game that they might not be good at right away or just getting introduced to. And so, that aligns well with our brand. That's the customer that we're trying to pick up and grow the game. And I think it's beneficial for everybody that way. But that's probably the biggest thing I've seen since COVID started. Mm-hmm. Other than that, and you can't get a tee time anywhere, but it's a good thing. Unless you're my dad.
It's kind of a good thing.
Complains about it all the time.
No, it's kind of a good thing. It's really funny when you're out playing with like some of these older guys that are like, I don't want to grow the game anymore.
Exactly,
like, shrink the game. Yep. Shrink the game. Yep. I miss when I could come out and golf and there was nobody out here. Just shrink it.
Totally. Yeah. Most of my golf now is executive course with the wife and the kiddo. Just go play four or five holes. That's the only way I can keep my game anywhere near you, Hagel.
Yeah, but dude, if you played even once every 2 weeks, you'd be back to a plus handicap. Just an absolute natural.
Yeah, and that's what happens. He started when he was young, I bet.
Where
did you loop at to be an Evans Scholar?
North Oaks,
okay.
Yeah, and then grew up working in the shop and just teaching junior golf, playing at Oakland.
Do you know what your low handicap index was, or is, I guess?
I mean,
like in high school? When was your peak? Was it high school?
Yeah, probably like senior high school. I think I got down to like a 2, so it was never insanely good. But I just scrape it around the golf course, as you witness, right? Like, I don't take a divot. Everything's a groove low, but you make it work.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
you've always made it work.
Yeah,
and
there's
nothing more
frustrating when you're playing somebody and they're like, hit it pure. He freaking kind of just fucking misses every green, but he gets it up and down.
Yeah. Dude, it's hilarious because we're like playing
so frustrating.
It's a little different.
Yeah, he doesn't know what is gonna go high, low. It doesn't.
We're playing with Reg. We're from the Whites, right?
Great dude, by the way.
Yeah, Reg is awesome. Big Maple.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Reg. Like, we're playing from the Whites, and Stang is asking for numbers from like bunkers and stuff, and Reg is like, yeah, man, like just pound it over the. I'm like, Reg, he can't hit it that far. Like, I don't know how you haven't figured this out yet. We're on hole,
you know, 14.
Yeah, we know. We were actually 14 might have been the one he was asking about the left bunker.
Sure.
On 14
in the fairway.
And Reg is like, yeah, man, not even just bang it, man. And he's like, no, like that bunker's in place for me. Do I have to hit a 4-iron like just to get? And that's what he was like taking out his 3-wood and hybrid and stuff off the tee, and he's just making par from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the most
kudos.
Yeah, just the most steady game that you can get, just grinding out bars everywhere and knocking in a few birdies and holding out from 150 apparently.
So you know, you're hoping to grow your brand in more green grass stores. You're looking at getting the big box and growing your e-commerce.
Yeah.
What is like the, obviously the end goal is to get as big as possible. I get that. But like, are you going to primarily just maintain in this fashion realm, or do you have goals of branching out into other areas? Like there's golf brands that start as like being like a glove brand. And then all of a sudden they're selling apparel and
right.
Good is making clubs now.
Callaway's making clubs for Good.
Good is putting their stamps on clubs, but still, I mean, it's valid, right? Like, you know, you can call it what you want. Like, you're going to get into anything other than apparel or.
Yeah. We've started doing collabs.
You guys should make a sandal.
So that's come up a lot recently. Like,
do we
bring back the sandal?
Vintage.
Yeah.
I saw a pair at your house.
Oh, well, you got to keep the OGs.
I lost mine.
Dog tears them up a little bit. I can't wear them outside the house.
I'll tell you what though, dude, I would 1000% buy a sandal.
So that, yeah. And I think, there are a fair amount of our customers who just would for fun.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Swanee's moments is my dad and I are moving. So we've been at like 6 different warehouses, right? We started in our apartment, then we were in my parents' basement, and my dad was doing our fulfillment while I was on the road selling the golf courses. But we moved into our first kind of legit warehouse, northeast, essentially Minneapolis. And we're moving out of there into our next warehouse. This was 2020, I think. Yeah, it was COVID. And we had like 8 bins of sandal components left over from the first few years, right? And I look at them and I was like, I am so excited to throw these away. Like, we don't need them anymore. Yeah. The cost isn't on our books. Doesn't matter. So we just hauled them out like on a trolley to the dumpster. And that one of the best moments of my, of starting Swanee's was just getting rid of that.
Yeah, I wish you would have told me because I would have kept them.
It probably would have been like an 8 bottom with like a 9 top, like nothing fit together. Yeah. We could have, came over and made him work though.
Pretty sure KJ still.
There's a few people that, still.
I had a black pair and a blue pair.
Yeah, we did black and blue.
Were they quality? Did they stay together?
No.
They stay together when you hand glue them together, you know, right? We're going to make that work. They have, so the sides like didn't stay completely flat, like where the strap would run underneath.
Yeah.
In between the
it'd peel up a little bit.
Yeah. So we called that, we had to like say that was on purpose. We called that the speed slot, right? Like that just had to make up something for it. We totally did. The first video of, you might've even seen it, we're getting interviewed at the Minnesota Golf Show, which is more of like a consumer show, right? Anybody can go and we're getting interviewed and somebody holds up the sandals, and I can't remember if it's on the video or not, but the sandal just breaks apart.
Meant to do that. Totally meant to do that.
That's on purpose.
I was trying to show you all the components that are involved in this.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping I can find this in less than like, I don't know, 30 seconds. But one of the first photos I was ever tagged in on Instagram is of a Swanee's photo shoot. It's like the first one at Gem Lake Hills, and you guys named a shirt the Hagel, like probably the worst name for a t-shirt ever.
All right, well, I'm gonna ask a question.
There you go.
So you're in what, 2500 green grass?
Yep.
Tell me about like in the early days, like maybe the worst experience when you're like you're trying to go rep your, like, you just brought out some new shirts or you know a new hat, and you go to some green grass spot, and I want to hear about like where somebody's like, who the hell are you?
Yeah. Town and country
here in town.
Yep. Here in town. I think part of the, like, hearing no you get used to hearing no.
Of course. Not that's, yeah. That's if you're in sales, that's pretty standard.
And then you really appreciate the guys that are willing to say yes, because you know what you're offering doesn't stack up against the competition, right? You go into the pro shop and you compare it to Travis Matthew or whatever else back in 2016, 2017. And it's like, yeah, our stuff is not close to this.
Yeah.
So you really appreciate the guys who are willing to say yes. And then, you know, if they've got four pairs of sandals, whatever, at the end of the year, you swap them out for something else. But going to Town and Country, and the pro there is just total dick, right? Like, has no interest in seeing anything. At that point, our lookbook, our catalog I'm referring is like two, three pages, right? So it's nothing.
You're like, dude, this is going to take 30 seconds. Yeah. Just flip through the thing,
and
please.
And I come with a backpack, and I pull the thing out, and he's like, is this it? And I was like, yeah, this is the product. This is the brand. He's like, I don't know how you expect me to carry this in our shop with, and now their membership is a lot older, right? So like,
it doesn't really fit your demographic.
Not a good fit at the start.
No, it doesn't fit your demographic really.
And he just looked at me like I was the biggest idiot he had ever seen. Come across as his golf course. Like,
I literally think it might be the
present me. How could you even present me with this stuff to try and sell in my shop? And I walked out of there with, you know, tail between my legs. All thinking, right. What am I doing? Like, I got to go back to my corporate. All right.
So that's not a fun story, but no, tell me about like one where you're like, why the fuck did this guy just buy from me?
Totally. also here in town over at Bent Creek. And yeah, I love thinking back, just like there are certain things that stick in your mind. And so probably same year, right? You sell in the fall for them to bring it in the spring and go in there, and he thinks the sandals are sweet. So he's like, I want to do the Bent Creek logo on the sandal, which we'd figure out how to make happen. But in general, he was just like, this is cool. This is local. And you know, maybe that was meeting like 10, 11, 12 that I had. And I just remember, you know, he brings in the assistant pros who are usually younger guys and they're excited about it. Mm-hmm. So sweet. They put in a couple like $1,000 order, which is our biggest order at the time.
At the time, you're like,
we're like, let's go. So I walk out and I'm immediately.
You got a business, baby.
Exactly. That is exactly what I'm doing. Business. I'm texting Ivy. I'm texting Swanee. I'm texting Joe. And I'm being like, guys, we just got to get more meetings on the books, boys. Like, let's go. This is easy. And then, you know, I probably went to Town and Country next and it was just the exact
opposite. And he just whipped you.
Yeah. Put me right in my place.
Well, you've come a long way. It's been fun to watch. Hopefully we can work something out with Allie. Shout out to Allie Swanson.
Yeah.
And Swanee, all the boys. Really cool, man. Proud of you. Hopefully, you know, you guys continue to do what you're doing. And it's been cool to see you grow over the last 10 years. Looking forward to playing a lot more golf, maybe when you have some more free time.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you guys having me. Blast to be on here. And yeah. Fun ride. So I honestly,
not over yet.
The two things I think that are really cool for us, we got an awesome team that has just bought into the brand from sales team.
Shout out Teddy Ball Game.
Yeah, for sure. From like, yeah, exactly. Ted moved up here from Waukegan, Illinois for a $36,000 salary to run our warehouse when we had like 8 people, and you know, uproot his life to do that. And then his girlfriend joins the team and does the same thing. So like, we've got an awesome team, which is I think a big competitive advantage too, because they live and breathe the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got like our support and customers and just the group supporting us, like you guys, like you have done forever, Hagel, makes it so much fun and makes that's everything. And that keeps you going through the tough times and makes it all worthwhile. So I really appreciate it.
I wish you guys nothing but the best of luck. We'll see you again hopefully soon.
Totally.
We'll be pumped to rep Swanee's, whether it's sponsored
or
not.
Yeah, we'll be rapping. We'll be just wearing hats and hoodies.
No, we'll do it up. We'll make it happen.
All right.
Sweet.
Thanks, awesome.
Thanks,
boys.